Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is our teacher and guide. I pray, Father, that you help us tonight to hear, to receive, Lord, to believe and to obey your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about something that, well, has just been neglected a whole lot in preaching and teaching today. And it's just not popular. It doesn't fit with the attitudes of our culture, and it doesn't fit with the pop theology of the day. I want to talk to you about being a servant of Jesus. Now, the scripture talks a whole lot about being a servant of the Lord. There's so many passages, just over and over and over. Not just in the Old Testament. I don't know how, but somehow people kind of get the idea that being a servant of the Lord is an Old Testament thing. But it's all through the New Testament as well. Do you know Romans 14 and 4, the Bible tells us not to judge another man's servant? It's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you know in 2 Timothy 2 and 26, the Bible tells us that we, the servants of the Lord, are not to quarrel? A servant of the Lord is not to quarrel with other people. Who's that talking about? It's talking about you and me. It's talking about all those who make Jesus the Lord of their life. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Yes, amen. I mean, our answer ought to be absolutely, unequivocally, without reserve, that yes, I'm a servant of the Lord. If you call yourself his servant, you are in good company. Let me just run through these with you quickly. Romans 1 and 1, Paul says, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. This is how he introduces himself. In Philippians 1 and 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. I want you to understand, this isn't just the apostles, this is all of us. He says, Epaphras, who's one of you. 2 Peter 1 and 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Titus 1 and 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. James 1 and 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. John referred to himself in Revelation 1 and 1 as his servant John. I'm just telling you, we need to know that we are servants of Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole church got together in Acts chapter 4, and they prayed. And in verse 29, it says, they said this, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Who's he talking about? Your servants. He's talking about us. He's talking about that we might be able to do what God wants us to do. Now, I want to tell you, it's easier to preach something that everybody agrees with. I'm just telling you, because when you know what happens when you say something that people really agree with? They say, amen. And that's like, go get them to a preacher. We like that. But I got to tell you that when somebody's just telling you stuff you already know, and sometimes you need that. You know, we all need that. We need somebody to remind us of truth that we already know. But if you don't ever learn anything, if you don't ever get a hold of something that you didn't already know, you don't ever really grow. And I've got to tell you that the church, the body of Christ in America today, needs this message. Now, I say they need this message, but I'm also going to tell you that, well, there's a lot of Sunday morning saints that would choke on this message. So I believe I'm sharing it with the right crowd. Believe the Lord has you here for a reason. We like to talk about being his sons and daughters. We like to talk about being his friends. We like to talk about being free, but we don't like to talk a whole lot about being his servants. But I'm telling you, that's only because we don't really understand it. Somehow, I think the enemy of our soul has taken certain verses of Scripture to try to do away with this truth. It's amazing how Satan uses Scripture against Christians. It's not really anything new. He even tried it against Jesus, amen? In the temptation of Jesus, he used Scripture to try to trick Jesus, to try to deceive Jesus. But you know what? We need to be aware and be wise and not be fooled by the devil. And instead of just taking one verse here and there, see, this is where people get in error a lot of times. They take one verse and they wipe out all other verses because this verse says this. I want to tell you, the Bible never contradicts itself. And one verse doesn't wipe out another. No, and if you think it does, it's only because you hadn't gotten there yet. You need some more understanding. You need some more of that revelation. And it doesn't come to you all at once. I want to tell you, there's nobody that's got all truth. There's nobody that's got it all together yet. We're all still learning. We're all still growing. In fact, you need to be leery of the preacher who tells you he's got it all figured out. So before we get very far into this message tonight, I just want to help clarify a couple of things so that we can really get a hold of this tonight. You need to know this. In the New Testament, not the Old Testament, the New Testament, there are more scriptures that mention being a servant than a son or a friend. John 15 and 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And what a fantastic truth and promise that is, that Jesus is telling us that we can have such a relationship with him, that it's not just servant and master now, but we can have that relationship with him as a friend. And I don't want to lessen the impact and the power of that verse in any way, but how do you get to be a friend of Jesus? Well, here's pop theology of the day. Oh, well, anybody be a friend of Jesus? No, they can't. What a bunch of rot. Where do they get this stuff? They don't get it from the Bible. Well, I heard it on KLTY. Whatever. You need to read the Bible. Just back up one verse. How do you get to be a friend of Jesus? See, what I'm saying right now is offensive to some people. It's offensive to a lot of Christians. Not anybody, not just everybody, is a friend of Jesus. No, Jesus says in the verse before, he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Who's a friend of Jesus? The one who does whatever he commands. You believe? It don't matter if you believe it or not, it's still true. The one who does whatever he commands is his friend. And here's what Jesus was saying, that if you do whatever I command, then you are one of those that I'll reveal things to. You're a friend. You're not somebody that just gets ordered around, but because you do what I tell you to, I'm going to bring you into my confidence. I'm going to show you things. I'm going to tell you things. Jesus was not negating all of the passages of Scripture and verses of Scripture and the truth that we are to be his servants. John also records something else Jesus said about being a servant. Verse 26 of John chapter 12, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. I want to tell you, there's honor in serving Jesus. We're not looking for the honor of men. We're looking for the honor of our Father. That when we serve Jesus, when we truly make ourselves his servants, I'm telling you, the Father will honor you. Here's the next one I want to deal with. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. Powerful passage of Scripture. It says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I want to say it again. You got to interpret the Scripture in the light of the rest of the Scripture. He is telling us here that the relationship has changed. We're no longer just a servant. No, now we are a son. All of the rights, the privileges, listen, all of the promises belong to us. We are now part of the family. We call him Father. See, Jesus taught us to pray that way. Jesus, almost every time he referred to the Lord, he didn't say the Lord. He didn't say God. He said, my Father. And that same Spirit is in us. That's an awesome, powerful thing. But he's not telling us that we're no longer to be servants of Jesus. No, he's talking about we're no longer under the law. We're no longer living under that old bondage. No, we've been freed from that. That has no place in our lives anymore. I just want you to realize, if you back up to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, in the same letter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul says, if I should seek to please men, then I should not be the servant of Christ. No, we are his servants, his bondservants. Now, it is popular today, when you do talk about being a servant, to water it down and to make light of it and to act like it's just no big deal. I want to tell you, it is a big deal. And if you go back and you look at the original language, you look at the Greek language, it is not just talking about some little mild thing. No, listen, the Greek word that is often translated as servant or bondservant, it literally means slave. And we take offense to that. And I want you to understand, the Lord isn't forcing anybody to serve him, to be his slave. We all serve him from a free will. We all choose to make him our master. It's up to us. No, he won't force anybody to be his slave. But don't make light of the word servant here, because it is talking about, listen, one who has a master. Do you have a master? It's talking about one who is under the control of another. See, these kinds of statements are offensive, not just to lost people, but to religious people who don't really want to let Jesus be Lord of their life. When he says a servant of God, a servant of Christ, that's what he's saying. Someone who is under the control of Jesus Christ. It is, listen, someone who belongs to another. Oh, how offensive that is to so many people. I'm my own person. I don't belong to anybody. Well, my Bible tells me that I was bought with a price, that by the precious blood of Jesus, that he purchased me. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. We were redeemed, purchased by him to be his very own. We owe him a debt we could never pay. We're his servants. You know, when you talk about a servant, it's much more than an employee. It is having a master who tells you what to do. There's a story in the Bible about a centurion that comes to Jesus, and he says, my servant is sick. And he asked Jesus to come and heal him. And Jesus said, or he asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And Jesus, and the centurion says, no, you don't need to come. He said, just speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And then it's in Matthew 8 and 9. And listen to what he says. He says, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And by the way, here's a real key issue and why so many people have a problem with truly being a servant of Jesus Christ. It has to do with allowing somebody else to have authority in your life. It has to do with having a problem with submission and allowing somebody else control in your life. But here's what he says. He says, I'm a man under authority and having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And listen, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. You want to say you're a servant of Jesus Christ? Here's what that means for us. Jesus says, do this, and I do it. That's it. If we don't do that, it's just lip service. Jesus says, do this, and I do it. Oh, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know. See, the centurion knew how this worked. I have a servant, and I tell him, do this, and he does it. And Jesus is our master. And he tells us to do something. We should just do it. We belong to him. We're his servants. I'm telling you, if preachers would preach this more, it would save people a whole lot of frustration, because there's only one way you can really be free. Well, Jesus sets us free. You know, there's a lot of verses we could pull out there, but let me tell you something. The whole truth is that you have to become his servant to be truly free. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. Man, I hope that you came tonight wanting to learn something, because I didn't come with a little pat on the back for you. But I want to tell you something. This word will bring freedom in your life. It will bring victory in your life. This word will bring joy in your life. So here we go. Romans 6, 20 through 23 says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God. That's us, slaves of God. Who are you? A servant of Jesus, a slave of God. And you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, for somebody to truly be free, they got to make themselves the slave of God. That's the only way. Because until you become a slave of God, you'll always fall back in under that old master, sin. It's like the old Bob Dylan song says, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. The reason we struggle with serving, and well, there's so many other things we can serve. Remember Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one or love the other. He'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and anything. And it's so easy for us to end up putting something else there. You can't serve God in leisure. You can't serve God in pleasure. You can't serve God in work. You can't serve God in family. Did he really just say that? I did. You got to decide who your master is. Now, I'm going to say this. Listen, when God is your master, when you serve him first, it's amazing how he blesses everything else in your life. There is no family as blessed as the one that's truly serving God. That's Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the way you get the blessing of God on your family. Can't serve God in sports. Can't serve God in shopping. Can't serve God in self. We choose to serve him. A lot of people just want to do what they want to do. But when we call him Lord, every time we call him Lord, we need to remember that the word Lord is not just another name for God. It means master. For him to be our Lord means that we are to obey him. That's why Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Jesus told a lot of parables about servants, and we don't have time tonight to go into those. But I will tell you that if you want to learn more about being a servant, Jesus talked about servants a whole lot. There's a lot of illustrations, parables, stories that he told about servants. One of them is in Luke chapter 19, and I just want to give you this one verse from this parable that he told. He says, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Oh, it's good to want Jesus to reign. We want Jesus to reign. Amen. And by the way, for those who choose for him to reign, for those who choose to serve him, he told another parable, Matthew 25, 21 and 22. It says this, well done, good and faithful servant. What's he going to call us if we were good and faithful servants? Well done, good and faithful servant. And listen to this. He says, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Another translation says, enter into happiness. We've been talking about the key to a happy life. But I'm telling you, when you really serve the Lord, when you just obey him and do what he tells you to do, there is great joy in that. I shared with you at the beginning of the message how so many of the writers of the New Testament signed their letters, their books, a bondservant of Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ. I don't know if we need to sign our letters that way. Might not be a bad idea. But I do know this, that it ought to be evidence in the way we live our lives, and it ought to be our attitude, not just about how we write a letter, but maybe how we have a phone conversation, and how we conduct ourselves in the workplace or at school, how we conduct ourselves when we do business with others, and how we conduct ourselves even with our own family, that I'm not my own. I'm not just doing what I think or what I want. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. If we would just learn to hear His voice and obey, it's amazing what He will do in our lives. Most of you know the story from John chapter 2 of the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus did His first recorded miracle, where they had run out of wine at this wedding, and it was a huge embarrassment. And Jesus' mother calls upon Him. She says, "They have no wine." And Jesus says to her in verse 4, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." It's like she ain't listening. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." You know the story. Jesus tells them to fill the water pots. They fill the water pots with water. And then the water is changed to wine. The master of the ceremony tastes it, and he says, "You've saved the best wine for last." But here's the point I want to make tonight, of course. Jesus says to the, or his mother says to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Oh, what a message for the church. What a message for us as servants of the Lord. Whatever He says to you, do it. Well, that's crazy. They're out of wine, not water. Why do we need to fill the water pots? Listen, most Christians would want to argue about it and rationalize it. Let's talk about it. Maybe we should get a committee to discuss it. But this is crazy. We're going to fill the water pots? What? Whatever He says to you, do it. What if we just lived that way? What miracles we might see. That's the way we really are supposed to live. I'm telling you, being a disciple of Jesus is to surrender our will to His. What if in the morning we got up and we said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm ready to obey." See, I think too often we get up and we pray and we tell the Lord what He needs to do, instead of asking what He wants us to do. I can assure you this, He already knows what things you have need of. And that doesn't mean you're not supposed to ask. You are supposed to ask. But I'm just telling you that if we approach the Lord as servants rather than order givers, we kind of got a role reversal going on here. God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, please, in Jesus' name. How about if we showed up in prayer, and instead of just presenting all of our ideas, instead we said, "Lord, here's your servant, ready to obey. What do you want me to do?" We might be surprised how much more often the Lord might speak to us if we show up as a servant. When young Samuel heard the Lord speaking to him, in 1 Samuel 3:10, he answered and said, "Speak, for your servant hears." That's the way it ought to be. Speak, for your servant hears. I think we need to get a hold of this vernacular, of this term. I think we need to start thinking this way and talking this way. I'm your servant, Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. I have chosen to make him my master. There's real freedom there. Do you know, that's being a servant of Jesus is being truly free. We can be a Christian and do a lot of good things and even work real hard. Here's the air quotes, you know, for those that listen later online. Work real hard for the Lord. See, we can be real busy just doing this and doing this and doing this and think that we are really, really serving God, but are we really? We can end up just burdened and bound. Luke chapter 10 is the story of Mary and Martha. It says in verse 38 that it happened as they went, he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? How do you get cranky with Jesus? That's what I want to know. How do you talk to the Lord that way? I know some people advocate that. They just say, you know, just tell him how. No. You speak to him as master, Lord, ruler of the universe, holy God. Well, that's not what I was told. You need to forget this pop theology garbage. Go back to the Bible. Look at how people talk to the Lord in the Bible. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You don't start off talking to God with disrespect. You going to tell him what you think? No, instead we talk to him with honor and reverence and respect. We are his servants. She's distracted with much serving. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Here's somebody giving God instructions, giving him his orders. Tell her to help me. Some of you have been trying to get God to tell your husband to do something. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And I just want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with Martha fixing dinner. No, what's wrong is she is all twisted and upset. She's all cranky. Who's at her house? Jesus, the Son of God. But she's not excited. She's not happy. She doesn't have the joy of the Lord. She doesn't got peace. No, she's all bent out of shape. Jesus says, you're troubled about many things. Hey, you know, let me tell you how Christians get burnt out working and serving and doing, but they're not really making themselves a servant of the Lord. Freedom comes when we really serve Jesus. See, sometimes working for the Lord, you can get burnt out. You forget who you're serving. We're serving Jesus. See, whatever you do, you're serving Jesus. You're doing this for Jesus. Nobody thanked me. Nobody appreciates what I do. I'm in here working so hard, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and nobody ever You've forgotten who you're serving. You're serving Jesus. You see, the scripture tells us that when we work, it talks about a slave actually being under a master, but we like to relate that, even though it's much milder, we like to relate that to an employee and an employer. But in Ephesians chapter 6, in fact, I just want to read a little bit of that to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody learning anything? Anybody being challenged just a little bit? Anybody mad yet? All right. Ephesians 6, 5, he says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, but not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." See, when you go to the workplace and you feel like you're being put upon, or you feel like you're not being treated just right, let me tell you something. In the first place, you got it a whole lot better off than these bondservants did. But here's the bigger issue. Whatever we do, we need to see ourselves as the servants of Christ. That we're not just working on a job. Yes, we do the best we can because we're doing it unto the Lord. We're servants of Christ. And it infects everything that we do when you're truly a servant of the Lord. That's where the freedom is. Jesus says, Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." You get the work thing here, the hard work, labor, and heavy laden. He says, "I'll give you rest." And here's how. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now, when you talk about a yoke, that's how you hooked up oxen so that they could pull something, whether it was a plow or a cart or whatever. You put a yoke on them. And Jesus says, "Take my yoke and learn from me." By the way, I'm really glad he says learn from me, because I'm telling you, I got a lot to learn here. But he says, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, there's a lot of people not really making themselves a servant of the Lord, and they don't have rest in their soul. There's a lot of preachers that don't have rest in their soul. And here it is, verse 30. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You take the Lord's yoke on, and he says it's easy. Easy. Light. What's that like? I don't know very well, but I want to learn. Easy. Easy. Light. Wow. That's what it means when you're truly a servant and you just do what he says. Easy. And light. I'm glad he says I can learn from him. He's always our example. We'll close with this passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. While being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant." This is God come to earth in a human body, in the flesh, and he takes on the form of a bondservant. "And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I just want to tell you, Jesus is the ultimate example of servanthood. He laid down his rights. He laid down who he was and became a bondservant, obedient even to death. But God has highly exalted him. And I want to tell you tonight, there is great joy. There is great victory. There is great peace, great rest in being a servant of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you tonight to truly make Jesus Lord in your life. Whatever he says to you, do it. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Father, that in each and every heart and life that you might truly be Lord. Oh, Father, where our hearts have strayed, help us. Help us to get it right. Lord, where we have taken on too much upon ourselves and thought too much of our own importance, help us, Lord, to just let go of all that, to yield to you. Lord, to take your yoke upon us. It's easy and it's light. And by faith tonight, Lord, we just do that. We receive that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of you right now, you need to see yourself throwing off that old yoke and taking on a new yoke. It's so easy. It's light. What is it? Serving Jesus. Just being his servant. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I don't know what to do about it. Listen, there's only one thing you got to do. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Father, I just pray that this seed of the word would bring forth a great harvest in our lives and you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.